You don't need to sit around and wait for America's care package to come to you when you shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob is a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our weekly check-in of the live feeds from the overnight from Thursday's new HOH being crowned here on Facebook Live. And we're going to take your questions as well with our birthday boy, my birthday boy correspondent. Here he is, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Another year older, probably not any wiser, and ready to talk some live feeds.
Ready to get into the live feeds once again. And are you hungover? Did you go out and celebrate the big birthday?
No, luckily, you know, I knew I was be watching feeds last night. I went out Tuesday, a little bit Wednesday. I've got a thing tomorrow, so I'm staggering around. I'll make it a week instead of a night here.
Okay, of course, we're going to be spoiling the live feed. So if you are averse and don't want to know what happened with the HOH competition or who are the likely people to go up on the block, this is your last chance to get out. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's get into it. Alex, of course, we talked about last night on the podcast with Brent Wolgamott, the full recap of Thursday night's show, which if you were maybe watching political conventions and didn't get a chance to join us live, definitely I recommend you check that out. But we talked about how the person who got the red ball the furthest, the winner of this week's HOH, is your boy, Paul. Friendship.
Oh,
you know,
that's right. HOH for your boy.
It's I can't, you know, these people in the house, they're all saying these Paul catchphrases, and I find myself doing it around the house. And I was downstairs in the living room with Nicole, my wife, not Nicole from Big Brother. And we were watching TV and something happened. I was just like, oh, she's like, what is wrong with you? I was like, no, there's a guy that does that. That's not, I'm just like copying the guy.
I swear I'm not insane.
Yeah. She's like, well, stop. Don't do that. It's like, oh, all right. So we had a lot of talk where Paul wanted to get Bridget up on the block, but the challenge was going to be who is going to be a person who sits next to Bridget on the block this week. So take us through the thought process of Paul and his confidants.
So Paul's got some people who he definitely listens to. He hasn't made it this far in the game without, you know, being in the right place with the right people, so to speak, and doing what they want in terms of antagonizing Frank, too. So now he has his own agenda, and his agenda specifically is he wants Bridget out. He wants Bridget out bad. He feels like he went full tilt, basically, to get Frank and Bridget, you know, demonized in the house. He really went on the warpath last week, and now he feels like he has to close that out. There are a couple people who want him to go a different direction, but it doesn't seem like they're having too much success coaxing him that way unless Bridget were to win the veto or something were to shake up that option for him. I think Paulie would like to see someone like Devon, who's obviously more threatening than Bridget by herself, maybe be the target. There's some other people who floated out Nicole's name, but Paul seems pretty dead set on Bridget being his target this week.
What is it specifically about Bridget why Paul wants to come after her? Is just her connection to Frank?
Well, it's the connection to Frank. It's the fact that he antagonized her really bad this week. I mean, we didn't really see it all on the feeds. They had to show everything with the secret room last night. But the last couple days on feeds, it was so clear that Frank was going home that there was really nothing left for the majority to do. I mean, he was already dead on the ground. They just had to bury him. So at that point, they basically just, for lack of things to do, Paulie and Devon were kind of the main catalyst of this, but it was really Paul. Went to Bridget and tried to convince her that Frank was campaigning against her. Really brought Bridget to tears. It was all made up. I mean, it's total nonsense. They just went above and beyond to try to disintegrate like Bridget's sanity in the house. So yeah, I would, if I was Paul, I would want to, well, I would think that Bridget maybe is not loving me right now. At the same time, you know, he has this this thought that Bridget is this big comp beast because she won one HOH and one veto where she, like, you know, bounced the ball in the tennis racket. It's a little irrational how, and it's really stupid to listen to all these people talk about a tiny girl like she's, you know, the second coming of Brock Lesnar in the house.
Okay, so Paul is thinking Bridget, but now this is where things get dicey. Who is going to be the person who's going to be the pawn who's going to sit next to Bridget this week in the house? So let's take us through what was Paul's first inclination?
So Paul really just wants a pawn that wants to be up there. He doesn't want anyone to, so he's just going around and trying to find someone to volunteer, basically. He's so gung-ho about it. Well, I want it to be Bridget. I want it to be Bridget. And you saw Paulie trying to maybe subvert a target in there as a pawn a couple times. And, you know, a lot of people were pitching Natalie, and James went to bat for Natalie. And I think this was the moment that James finally realized a little bit, like, maybe I'm not in the best position. Maybe taking out Frank for these people didn't buy me weeks and weeks of goodwill the way maybe I thought it did, because the fact that they're floating Natalie around already again when she's been a pawn before and none of these people have, I think was concerning for James. Ultimately, they talked about Devon. Devon's not interested. Nicole was someone who they really tried to pressure, and Nicole really almost talked herself into it with enough people convincing her that she would be safe, to the point where, you know, she's just mortified of the idea of going on the block and especially volunteering and then going home. You know, she's already just envisioning every worst case scenario. And so, but, you know, ultimately she agreed to it late in the night. Once she agreed to it and it was like pulling teeth to get her to do so, at that point, Paulie's like, you know what, man, screw it. I'll be the pawn. And then Corey was like, or I could be the pawn. And, you know, it just became this weird scenario where the roles just flipped, and now Paulie and Corey were arguing about which one of them should get to be the pawn. It's a lot of just weird, unexplainable logic right now.
Okay, so one of the stories that's developed over the course of the last, you know, week to 10 days was that how much power Paulie has in the house right now. For him to want to go up on the block, is this a shrewd move or is this a major miscalculation in your mind?
I think it's a miscalculation. I think he really is sure that he has the votes locked up to stay. And right now, I'm sure he does. But as we all know, things can change very quickly in the Big Brother house once people sense weakness or vulnerability. I think Devon in particular would be someone whose eyes would get wide at the size of that target. I think Paulie maybe is hurt a little bit by the fact that he was used as a pawn week one and escaped unscathed. And this was before he really had established himself in the role that he has now in the house. So I think maybe he has the notion that, oh, well, worked for me once, it totally worked for me again. This is clearly, you know, something I could get away with now. But is that true at this point? I don't know. As the game progresses, you want yourself in that position less and less because it becomes more and more likely that it takes less and less votes to flip the script on you.
It seems to me that because Paulie has been following this Derek playbook all season long of back in season 16, my brother and Derek would have done this. This seems so contrarian to anything Derek would have ever thought of.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is something that I don't think comes at all in a Derek playbook. The guy who, in a Battle of the Block season, avoided nomination entirely until the finale night. And, you know, to top that off, Paulie was telling us, you know, all last night about how he was, you know, vetted so thoroughly by Derek and Cody. And, you know, they basically put him on this
Cody.
Yeah, they put him on this path where he's like, I'm going to get out the strategist first, and then I'm going to get out the paranoid people, and then you want to be at the end with all the floaters. So he really came in with a game plan that was given to him on paper, basically, by Derek. And this is not on there. I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah. So if Paulie is going to sit up on the block against Bridget, and I had said from last week, I don't think Bridget is going to go home this week. It just seems like that she's so inoffensive, I guess, to us at home, at least. I guess there's a couple of people in the house that she really, for whatever reason, is rubbing the wrong way. Paulie versus Bridget, if this goes into Thursday, what would have to go wrong for Paulie for him to be the person who goes out of the house?
I think people would really have to, A, sit down, talk amongst themselves.
But
at
which
some point,
people specifically would need to have this conversation?
Yeah, not Paul, not Victor, I don't think. I worry that Corey wouldn't be someone you want to bring in. I think
gotta
the girls
start
need
with
to get
Devon,
together again.
Right?
It has to start with Devon for sure. Devon is the person who's going to A, see this the most clearly the moment, you know, it happens if he goes up on the block, and B, have the courage to do something about it. I think that's a big element here, is that a lot of these people really seem to be playing to survive one more week and figure it out.
So we're down.
You know, and that's that's not a long-term game plan. I think at some point you have to be willing to push your chips in to try to win the thing and be okay with going out eighth if it comes to that, you know?
The tricky part of this is going to be with 11 people in the house, so 8 people will vote this week. Paul will ultimately break a tie. You would think that he's certainly going to break the tie in Paulie's favor. So it would have to be some sort of a coalition that starts with Davon. James and Natalie, I think, would both have some mutual interest in taking Paulie out and also keeping Bridget in the house. So that's 3. I think that you could start to talk about Zakiya potentially, but it's, again, tricky to imagine a scenario. There would have to be some sort of a major fallout between Zakiya and Paulie this week. And Davon is targeting Nicole. Nicole and Corey, you feel like that they would be squarely in the Paulie camp. You have Big Meesh, but then this would also involve Big Meesh keeping Bridget over Paulie. So it is very difficult to envision, you know, we talk about like the election map, like the states that would have to flip over. Tough to see where they would be able to get 2 more people in this scenario.
Yep. And, you know, it does kind of remind you of Big Brother 16, where there was a couple of these weeks where all the fans were saying, I don't understand how it can be, you know, Amber and a member of the bomb squad who's a real player on the block together, and they're just going to vote out Amber, or it's going to be Jocasta and Zach, and they're going to vote out Jocasta or Jocasta and Cody, whatever it was. Yeah, I mean, this is a case of a big kind of conglomerate again, where nobody wants to rock the boat for fear of what it might mean to them personally. They don't want to be the next out. It's unfortunate because, yeah, at some point, unless you want this thing to continue the way it's going, and the way it's going right now is for the boys. I mean, this kind of boys contingent, you know, they've got Davon and Nicole to a degree at each other's throats right now, and their game plan is to continue poisoning them against each other. And, you know, it's multiple guys in on this fix. So that's something that's, you know, a ticking clock for these girls to kind of get together and realize that this is going on.
Now, the big wild card, I would think, in this scenario that we're talking about would have to be Victor, who we haven't really talked about yet today, who seems like he would be the obvious pawn to go up this week. He probably will not, at least through the renominations. And so Paul keeps him safe, but we know from him coming back into the house, his goal to come back into the house was to take Paulie out of the game. Do you see a scenario where he might still have that grudge against Paulie? This would be a golden opportunity for him to potentially cast a vote against him. Could be a deciding vote. Certainly, at least that might be a 4th vote to get to a tie. Is Victor potentially somebody that Paulie is not worried about, but should be?
I don't think so. I think the grudge was unfortunately buried the moment he came into the house and felt like Paul was his only friend and Paul had become Paulie's minion.
Yeah.
Paul is a bridge that mended those fences entirely, I think. And it's unfortunate, yeah, because nobody else really did a good job when Victor came back in of cozying up to him and trying to use him as a number the way Paul just kind of did naturally. And you know, Paulie has been the beneficiary of a lot of these situations where, you know, and he wants to be the one to pull in Bridget, too. You know, it makes it tougher now that he wants to go up on the block against her. But his idea, if Paul wasn't so adamant about going after Bridget, is to, you know, get rid of Davon. And who does Bridget have, you know, to turn to? So, yeah, I don't understand why so many people this season seem to be averse to having good social working relationships with everyone in the house as opposed to just a core few.
I was thinking about this morning where Paulie seems like he's attached at the hip with Paul. Is Paul his new ride or die? Do you see that Paulie feels like this is the person that I want to go to the end game with? Does he look at Paulie and Paul look at each other like the Derek and Cody?
I think that's becoming increasingly the case. I don't know if it was the case even a week or two ago, but I think now that Paul's won a head of household, if this bites Paulie somehow, then maybe not. But as of right now, yeah, I think, you know, Paul is proving himself a loyal number to Paulie in the sense that he's asking Paulie's advice on everything and essentially doing what Paulie wants other than insisting that Bridget go this week.
Is there any possibility, give me the percentage chance, that this turns out that we have the Zach and Jordan of it all, where is that? What is the possibility that we have a situation like the one that unfolded in Big Brother Canada 3 for our dear friend Jordan Parhar, where Paul puts his number one ally, Paulie, up on the block and he goes home, potentially even with Zakiya being the Cindy with an S of it all?
Well, at least with those guys, I can kind of get behind their logic, even if it was flawed, because they were trying to mask an alliance. The thinking here is that they just want to put up someone in their group that's strong competitor for Vito. Like, stop thinking that, like, this. They're just overrating competitions to such a ridiculous degree this season in every aspect of the game. These things are, for the most part, you just roll the ball on a ramp. Like, how much skill was really involved?
Hey, you know, it's really somebody absurd. In this Vito, that's a challenge beast that can beat Bridget and take her out. And so I got to be there. I'll be there. Don't worry. Put me in. Put me in, coach. I'm a student athlete, and I'm ready to go.
That's right. Yeah. Don't say anything about it either. He gets very touchy about that. Yeah, I don't think it's very likely, but Bridget winning the veto, I think, would throw some things into real chaos. That would be very interesting, because then Paulie's going to want Devon to be the target. Paul didn't seem to really want to target David. Devon's not coming after Paul. They were on a team together. Paulie is still going to be sitting there looking fat and juicy, if assuming he does go up as the pawn today. So Bridget winning veto could throw everything into a huge tailspin. And that would be one of the situations where everyone running scared actually creates some good drama, because they don't have control anymore.
Is the fact that Victor wasn't a possibility to go up on the block, and that people were trying to, they were trying to force Nicole into being that person who was the pawn on the block? I know Paulie ultimately ends up in that spot, but is there any chance that we have some sort of like a wake up call where the women in the house realize that Paulie, Paul, Corey, Victor, these guys are really tight, and maybe the women need to have some sort of a countermeasure to combat this?
You'd really hope so. And if so, it needs to really happen soon. The problem is that these guys have done a decent job, you know, as seemingly, you know, helpless as some of them are, they've done a decent job of divide and conquer here. Natalie is kind of off on her island with James. Devon and Nicole aren't trusting each other, and the guys are fueling that fire. Zakiya does seem to be so much more interested in Paulie than she was early in the game. And now really most of what she does is just lay around with him and make catty comments. You know, we don't talk about Zakiya much on this show, and we have been kind of critical of Michelle, but, you know, I said to somebody on Twitter last night, at least we talk about Michelle. We haven't mentioned Zakiya on this podcast all week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, would you rather be the person that we, you know, talk about critically, or the person we just ignore entirely? I think I'd rather be Michelle.
Yeah. What was going on this week with Zakiya that she was going to sleep in the bed with Victor?
I don't know. It's a lot of just stupid, like, just mind games. It was like subtle, like, I'm trying to make him like me more. And Nicole feeds into it, like, advises her on, like, silly little games that'll make Paulie like her more. And they're mostly not things that I've ever read in any kind of, like, legitimate relationship column. I wouldn't advise Nicole's general take on how to, you know, win a guy. You shouldn't be trying to win a guy, Zakiya. Look at you. You're gorgeous. You don't have to. You're intelligent and attractive. And like, the fact that you're throwing yourself at Paulie is embarrassing. Like, you don't need to be doing this. Stop it. You're better than this.
All right. I want to get into some questions from the people watching the show live here on Facebook. Just post them in the Facebook thread on the Rob is a Podcast Facebook page. Anything else interesting overnight, Alex, that you want to get into?
Just a lot of these guys just coming together in a way I totally didn't expect. You know, week 2, I was like, the 5 dumbest players in this house are definitely guys. This is such a dumb cast of guys, but it's surprising and quite honestly frustrating to see them take control of the game this way.
How's Bridget handling everything? Is she aware that she's probably a likely person to go up on the block this week?
She's like, what's a good analogy? She's kind of scared, shaking in the corner, you know, like the rescue dog that can't stop peeing itself. That's pretty much Bridget. She's not opening her mouth for fear of what she might say.
Well, maybe the slot pass might help her if she wins that.
How?
And she might be like, oh, America likes me.
All right. Well, that's fine. How's it going to help her in the game?
Well, I think maybe it's like sort of like the fuel that she needs.
I don't know. I think she probably just needs to get out of there for her own benefit at this point. I don't see a lot of good coming from a prolonged stay in that house for Bridget. People aren't very receptive to her personality.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into some of your questions. Go ahead and start to post them. Has there been any talk from the women in terms of who they think would go up if it was a renom situation, if the veto was used?
Not really. I mean, you know, there's just been a lot of speculation so far about, like, do you think he's really going to, you know, is Paul really targeting Bridget? Or I don't think it's quite evolved to that point yet. At the same time, the guys are definitely talking about it. Like, they're already thinking like 2-3 moves ahead up in the HOH room. They've had a couple conversations like that. And it really does seem like Davon is someone who should be worried, because I think that's an agenda that, even if it's not necessarily Paul's, he doesn't really have an agenda behind Bridget. So if people are driving that into him, he's, you know, it's the people he listens to that are pushing that.
I really think that a lot of our hopes and dreams on this season, I think, are resting squarely on the shoulders of Davon. I feel like that she is the one person whose interests in the house are mutually aligned with so many of us that want to see us break up the showmances in the house. We need to break up the showmances and really get this back into a more fun game.
Yep. And I think you guys talked about it last night, but Jason Roy, very astute point in that, you know, Davon needs to hang on here for like 3 more weeks. And then she's going to disappear a good deal on the radar just by default because the showman's element. It's unfortunate, though, to see that it does seem like she has a, you know, pretty narrow focus when she gets someone in her crosshairs. It was Frank, and now it looks like it's probably Nicole. And she needs to expand her vision. She needs to be capable of seeing that there are other people. You know, she locks in on the person she feels betrayed her. And I feel like it's hard for her to get past that. Meanwhile, other people are betraying you, but you're so focused on the one that did that it's hard for you to see everything else. So I'm a little worried about her in that respect, seeing the forest through the trees.
Let's take a question from Don, who wants to know, why isn't someone trying to pick up Bridget and use her to shake it up? Do they really think that they can win? You know, Paulie was trying to keep Bridget off the block to a point. Do you feel like that he might have been looking at her as a Victoria, who would have been somebody that he could have used her like Derek used Victoria?
Even used Victoria's name, Rob. Absolutely, that's what he was thinking. And it's crazy to me that he's the only one thinking along those lines, because other people have seen that season.
I mean, Frank might have been thinking that
too. Nicole was on that season. Yeah. I mean, you should have some idea about, well, but now that Frank's gone, here's a free agent. Clearly, this girl is alone. She is sad, scared. She thinks she's going next. If you can pull that person in, now they feel obligated to you. Now you're the person that threw them a lifeline, and they remember that. That's what people remember in this game. That's a strong showing of loyalty. So I think it's frustrating that other people don't see that and how it could potentially benefit them. It's frustrating that, you know, I mean, Michelle did go and kind of squash some beef with Bridget, so that was good to see that element of social game there. But it's, you know, you would hope to see more people really try to talk some game with Bridget. And it does seem like, for whatever reason, whether it's fear or just a universal understanding that she's next to go, people don't really seem to want to include her in things. And so she doesn't feel like she's actually being trusted by anyone.
Okay. Nina has a question. Who is Day's best ally in the house? Is it James? Is it Zakiya? Big Meesh?
It's a complicated, really complicated question because, you know, who does Day think is her closest ally may not actually be who is truly most honest and loyal to Day.
Right, who do you think? Who does my boy Alex think?
It's hard to say. You know, you would say James because Davon divulges so much to James and is straight up with James. But then James is in the room last night when Davon is being thrown around, and he will just put his head down and go with that if it comes to that, it seems like. So you can't really consider James then maybe a super loyal ally to anyone if he's going to play that kind of game. You know, you might say Zakiya, but Paulie seems very confident that he could, if he gets Davon on the block, he can get her out, and then Zakiya will be wholly loyal to him. So it's tough. I think Davon needs to do some work in that respect. I might almost say Michelle, simply for the fact that her and Davon do have a good relationship, and she doesn't have any kind of showmance element that's prying the things Davon says to her right back out of her. You know what I mean? That's the problem with her relationship with Nicole, her relationship with Zakiya, her relationship with James, because James talks to Natalie. It's just everything Davon says to the people she thinks she can trust end up elsewhere. So that's her issue right now.
Yeah. Mike Moore asks a similar question to that. Can Mama Day keep her mouth shut now that Frank is gone? Or has she just completely transferred her bloodlust for Frank to Nicole now?
Well, she's been doing a pretty good job this week, I think. She hasn't been on people's radar in the last few days as much as Nicole for having conversations with multiple sides, so to speak. With that said, this is a tenuous time for her game. She definitely doesn't want to start that activity up again. I think she's done a pretty decent job of laying low. But as soon as she hears her name thrown around, I think that is the kind of thing that gets her worked up and puts her into a mode of starting to confront people and stuff. And that's probably not good for her right now. She needs to lay as low as she can.
Does she have any idea that Paulie is gunning for her?
I don't think she may have some idea, but I don't think she has any inkling that it's something he's considering right now. I think she is much more worried about Nicole and whatever relationship Nicole may have had with Frank and whatever Frank may have told Nicole. Because remember, most of what Frank was sharing, the house accepted it as lies, but it was accurate. Davon and him did have this working relationship. So I think that fear that Frank may have told Nicole, you know, where the bodies are buried is really prolonging.
I think one of the frustrating things about this season that when we potentially look back at the end and see that Paulie ended up going very far, I think we're going to take a look back at this point in time where we say, boy, the Frank, Tiffany, and Davon triangle of those three people who were all just like gunning for each other. Boy, if they could have put their heads together instead of going out like 3 or 4 weeks in a row at a certain point in the end of July, beginning of August, what might have happened if maybe they could have worked together?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a little yeah, a little frustrating, I guess, but this is, you know, this is Big Brother. This is
the mogo of it all. Right.
Yeah, they just can't see beyond the, you know, they're all big targets. And, you know, the Jeremy Collins, let's all the big targets get together and work together so we all survive and make it far. And then I'll do what I need to do when I'm surrounded by targets. You know, Paulie wants to play the opposite game, which is I want to get to the end with nothing but victorias, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so they needed to, you know, if somebody's playing a game that's fundamentally counter to yours, that's someone you need to get rid of early. If they could go back in time and get out Paulie week one, this would probably be a very different game now. And I don't think they had any idea that this guy was going to, you know, assume control to any degree the way he has.
Jennifer Pollock wants to say, does Nicole have a path to the end of the game?
It's going to be tough. Things will have to flip. Something will have to blow up, I think. But yeah, that's really, you know, that happens before. You know, we thought Davon was dead woman walking as soon as they took out, you know, Frank or Tiffany, or and it, you know, it's not necessarily gonna go down that way. So yeah, things change quickly. Really, what needs to happen, I think, more than anything, is that she needs to get her head back in the game and not be so caught up about what Corey thinks about me, what's the future for me and Corey after we get out of the show. How much do I like Corey? How much does Corey like me? Like, there's too much of that and not enough of positioning and really thinking through the strategy of it, which I don't know that that's necessarily Nicole's strong suit anyway, but it would be nice to see her really trying to do more analysis as opposed to just kind of hanging out.
Wow. Corey is totally worthless in terms of what we're seeing on the show too at this point. I mean, it used to be in the beginning of the season we would get like some funny packages of Corey talking about Christmas and hashtag I mean and stuff like that, but they're not even showing him at this point.
Well, there's nothing to show, Rob. The guy's, I'm sorry, but he's really, really bland, really vanilla dude. I just don't think there's a lot he has to offer. He's not the most charismatic guy. I really don't understand why he got cat. I mean, I guess he's a good looking guy who's physical and looks good with the shirt off. I really think that I don't know that it goes much deeper than that.
Yeah. Maureen in the chat wants to know any Frank interview in the works. We sent in our exit interview questions. Would love to have Frank on the podcast, but Frank told Big Meesh when he was in the house, he doesn't really do podcasts.
Yeah. I think maybe he's one of these guys that kind of lives off the grid. I don't know about Frank. But
I mean,
he's in pharmaceutical sales now. So maybe that used to be him. He can't be that guy anymore.
I guess so. So he really, I mean, you never saw too many interviews with Frank making the rounds prior to Big Brother 18. And I can't imagine coming off of this that he's going to like make a big like media push.
Yeah, this wasn't exactly the appearance that screams like, hello, world.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Take the world by storm. Terry wants to know, do you think that Paulie cutting his hair like everyone's boy Paul is his version of Derek mimicking the BB House style? Is that like his version of like Derek wearing the beanie around the house?
Derek putting on a hoodie and pretending he's 22? Yeah. I don't know.
I need to do is I need to go undercover and I'll try to get the same haircut as Paul, and then nobody will suspect that I am an operative and I'm working for the other side of the house.
With that voice and talking undercover, we're getting dangerously close to talking construction workers and tiles.
No. Your boy is looking good though. That's all right. That's right. All right.
Yeah, and honestly with the haircut, I think, you know, it's hard for us to, you know, put this as like the first reason for people doing things when we're outside of the house and we have stimulus around us. But boredom is huge in there. They've got nothing to do. There's one book, the Bible. There's one game, chess. And there's people who you already know everything there is to know about them by this point. And really, you have nothing left to say to them. So you might as well shave up your head into something stupid because you got nothing else to look forward to for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, we've got plenty to look forward to coming up this Sunday night when we update everything that happened over the weekend on the Big Brother live feeds. Myself and Taryn Armstrong will get into it all and tell you what happened with the ultimate nominations and with the veto and with what the plans are for renominations and everything that happens on our Sunday night episode. So look forward to that. Again, Alex Kidwell, very happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Friendship. Okay. And so that's going to do it for us here on the podcast on the Friday update. If you missed our recap from Thursday night, definitely check that out. A very fun show with Brent. And then plenty more to do for those of you guys who are fans of the Mr. Robot. Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro have a Mr. Robot recap from this past week. Myself and Josh Wigler also on post-show recaps did a review of the new Star Trek film, which should be dropping soon in the post-show recaps feed. So definitely check that out as well. Plus, Big Brother's own Eric Stein joins the MTV Challenge Rehap-Up with Brian Cohen and Ali Lasher on Reality TV Rehap-Up. So a lot to do across all of the RHAP networks. Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.